Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. No turning back. That's right. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You guys are doing an amazing job. Praise the Lord. Give it up for the worship team, y'all. Praise God. Hallelujah. You guys go ahead and have your seats. Glory to God. Our God is an amazing God. Amen. I'm going to sit these right here. Is that cool? Cool. Awesome. Awesome. Man, I'm so excited to be here. I feel like I'm at home. Home is Michigan for me, for those who don't know. But I feel like I'm at home, man. It's just so awesome to be here. What's your name, worship leader?
Jessica.
Jessica, you are awesome. You almost preached my message just now. And so, you know, I love the flow of the Holy Spirit, man. I mean, he's just right on. Sounds like God has a message for you tonight. And it flows exactly with what we just sang. I think that was just awesome how we ended on that song, because God is wanting to get something over to you guys tonight. I think this weekend is just going to be so awesome. But before I get into the message, let me let you know who I am. I'm Fabian. Everybody say Fabian.
Fabian.
That's how you pronounce my name. It's not Fabian. It's not Fabian. It's not Fabian. Or there's so many. It's Fabian. Real nice and easy. I have this guy at my church back in Greensboro. Praise God. He wants to change my name. And I'm like, bro, my mom gave me this name and it's pronounced Fabian. And he's like, no, Fabian. Fabian. I'm like, no, it's Fabian. Come on, bro. And so anyway, I'm Fabian. I'm married. I've been married. June 24th will be 6 years. We got married in 2013, my wife and I. Wish I had a picture to show her. She is a beautiful woman of God, a fiery preacher and a worship leader. I wish she was here with me tonight. I have one son. His name is Hendrix. He's a dog, okay? I am a father of a dog and a cat. My cat, his name is Frenchie, so I have two children. And I love them very much. I miss them so. I'm like the weirdest dog owner. I, for some reason, love the smell of my dog's feet. And it smells so I do. My wife thinks I'm so weird, but I just live. It smells like Fritos, to be really honest. But for some reason, I love the way I like lay him down and I just put his paw right on my nose and I just smell it. I have no idea. It's the weirdest thing. And ever since he was a baby, I would just kiss him on his nose all the time. And so he knows, like, I just love him. He's just like a little boy. Anyway, one day we will have real children, human children. But right now, my Hendrix and Frenchie will have to do. Glory to God. They will have to do. So that's my introduction. Oh, yeah, I live in Greensboro, North Carolina, so I'm from the States. And my wife and I are youth pastors there. And I'm so blessed by my pastors there that allow me to not only be on staff at their church, but to also travel and be here with you guys tonight. So I honor them. And then I also just want to honor Pastor Steve and his wife Kendra and the pastors here, man. Awesome, awesome. Give it up for them. Glory to God. Yes. I'm so honored to be here tonight. I love them and I love this opportunity. All right, and so we're going to get it moving because I know we got a time. We're on time. I don't see. Okay, there it is back there. I want you guys to know that I sweat a lot. I can just be sitting and not talking and not moving, and I just sweat. So this is my sweat rag. Do not laugh if I begin to sweat like crazy, okay? I just sweat. All right, praise the Lord. All right, so, and no one come to me and tell me, you remind me of Madea. I am not Madea. I love Tyler Perry. I love Madea, but I'm not. We are just, you know, praise the Lord. They're there, and I'm here, so hallelujah. So this weekend, the theme is believe, and I've come all the way here to build your faith this weekend, all right? And so what I want you guys to do is to open up your hearts, open up your minds, incline your ears, guys. Lean into what's being said this weekend. God is wanting to strengthen your faith tonight. And so we are going to do that. We're going to get our faith strengthened for the rest of our lives this weekend. All right? Because this weekend is going to be one of the most powerful weekends that you will encounter for the rest of your life. I'm 100% persuaded by that, all right? All right, how many of you guys know Paul? Paul, he is awesome. Paul wrote, I'm going to just school you guys for just a little bit. You probably already know this, but it's okay to be reminded of some things of the Word of God. Paul wrote half of the New Testament over a period of 17 years. Can you guys name any of the books he wrote? Okay, cool. So Paul wrote Philemon, he wrote Colossians, he wrote Ephesians, Philippians, Hebrews, 1 Timothy. He wrote a lot of books in the New Testament. He also wrote Titus. He wrote four letters in prison, in a dungeon full of oil. Like he was locked down to somehow, whenever he got free time, he was concerned about the churches. So he wrote four of those letters while he was in prison. But what's really crazy, man, this dude was on fire for God. I mean, loved the Lord Jesus, loved God. But what's really, really crazy is the fact that before Paul wrote half of the New Testament, this dude hated Christians. He hated Christians. Actually, Christians was, that word, Christian, was a derogatory name. It was a word that people would use, oh, those Christ followers. Oh, those guys, oh, man, they believe in Jesus. It was derogatory. It was a derogatory name. But what's really awesome is those guys, they took on that name, and we are called Christians today. But Paul hated Christians, and he went all around the earth. He went all around the world in that area to kill Christians. And what's really crazy, how God switched that whole thing up. What's really crazy is as he would go from house to house to kill Christians, God switched. He had a moment with the Lord, and now he's going from house to house, starting churches in the church. I mean, in the houses. Isn't that crazy? One minute he's going from church to church killing Christians, and now he's going from house to house starting churches. Only Jesus can do something like that, right? You see, Paul had an experience with Jesus that changed his life forever. Anybody ever had an experience with Jesus? I mean, he went all around, I mean, starting church after church after church after church. Now, understand that Paul didn't know God's love until he experienced Jesus. And his eyes was open to an unconditional God, a God, really, that could have stopped his heart from beating at any moment. Paul experienced and was truly persuaded by the unconditional love of God, and that changed his heart forever. Paul became persuaded. He was over there singing, Christ before me, the world behind me. You know what I mean? What he was doing before was behind him. He was totally persuaded by God. He became persuaded. He became unmovable. He became unshakable in God's love, even through all of the hard, crazy times that Paul faced. How many of you know Paul faced some crazy times? If you have your Bible tonight, turn over to 2 Corinthians real quick. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Now, here's the thing. This weekend, we can get up here and we can, hallelujah, God is good, God is great. We can get up here and shout and all of that stuff. But there's another thing, to let the Word of God sink in. I want to give you something to think about over the next few days. I want your minds to be changed. I want your hearts to be changed. I want there to be a transformation in your whole life from this moment tonight on. Are you with me? 2 Corinthians 11, 25 through 28. Here's Paul. He's sharing a few things here. He said, there are three times I was beaten. I'm reading the NIV version. Three times I was beaten with rods. One time I was pelted with stones. Three times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and day in open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I've been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from the yellow dangers. I mean, he was in danger from his fellow Jews, in danger from the Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from the false believers. Even the ones that was on his team, now they're coming after him. I have labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I've been naked, cold, lost. I mean, this dude experienced some crazy things. And besides all of that, he said, I face the daily pressure of my concern for the church. Beaten, stoned, backstabbed. I mean, all the crazy things. Lost at sea. I mean, shipwrecked, man. He encountered some of the craziest things. And yet his mind was on the churches that he had started. He had the daily pressure and concern for all the churches. All of the churches. Any of you guys ever experienced some hard times? Bow your heads, close your eyes. Father, I thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your mercy and your grace and your peace that passeth all understanding. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you are here tonight. And because you're here, Father, we know that there is freedom, there is liberty, Father. I pray right now that in the name of Jesus, not one life will leave out the exact same way that they walked in, but wisdom, revelation, and knowledge will take place tonight. Hearts will be changed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I'm from Michigan, and I moved to Oklahoma. I'm from Detroit, Michigan, okay? And I moved to Oklahoma. Who does that? Oh, yeah, this guy over here. Steve. Man, I mean, I loved my city. I still do. I love Detroit from the bottom of my heart. And I moved to Oklahoma, and I went to Bible school. I went to Rhema Bible College because God told you, give it up for Rhema, because God told me to go. I experienced downright times while I was there. God told me to go to Oklahoma. He told me to go to Rhema Bible College. And my whole time I was there, man, it just seemed, I was there for a long time. And it just seems like it was one thing after another. Now, my experience was there, that while I was there, it didn't, you know, it doesn't compare to what Paul went through, but I had some hard times. I mean, and a lot of people don't even know this. But here you have me, man. I'm doing awesome things for the Lord while I was there, and I'll share a little bit of the things that I was doing. But I was homeless for 3 months. Homeless for 3 months. I was sleeping on my buddy's couch. His name is Ezekiel. I was sleeping on his futon for 3 months. Up until that time, my car had got repossessed. I was evicted. No longer had a place. I didn't have a job. And here I am in Bible school doing what God told me to do. And I was facing these things. I mean, it was one thing after another. And I'll never forget, because I got evicted, I'll never forget this Friday. Well, there was an eviction notice that went on my door. And it was about a month that went past. I had a court date. And I had to go to court. And I will never forget this Friday. I went to court, and, you know, there's hundreds of people in this courtroom. You know, all of them have been charged with something. Something was going down. And I was here, and I'm just like, I'm a Bible student. And I was scared. I was nervous. I'd never been in court before. And I didn't know if they were going to send me to jail because I couldn't pay my bill. I didn't know what was going on. So I'm sitting here in the courtroom, and the judge calls my name. Now I'm ultimately embarrassed because now I got to stand up and I'm like, man, I hope nobody from Rhema's in here. They see me. So now I go up and I'm standing in front of the judge, and the judge says, you know, it's so funny. He says, do you give up your rights? I said, absolutely not. Absolutely not. And so, I mean, I didn't understand the lingo. I'm like, can you explain that to me? And so and so he sent the court-appointed lawyer out with me. He said, go on out with this guy here and explain some things, and then maybe we'll come back in here. And so I go out, talk with this court-appointed lawyer, and man, it was just horrific. It was it was just messed up. Like, gosh, I hated every moment of it. I felt so stupid. And so, honestly, I have no idea what happened. You know, like, I talk to this guy, and then I end up leaving. And I get in my car and I'm driving home. I'm just upset. I'm like, God, you told me to come here. You told me to come here. Here I am. I'm on the worship team. I'm teaching School of the Bible. I'm traveling with Kenneth Hagin Ministries on crusades. And, you know, I'm going to Bible school. I'm teaching and I'm doing crazy things. I'm worship leader over two worship teams. You know, I'm doing some awesome, amazing things while I'm there at Rhema. And all of this stuff was God ordained. And then I'm going through this craziness. And I'm like, God, I'm doing all this for you. Send me a check. Where's my money? I need to pay these bills. I'm facing all kind of craziness. And I remember driving in my car. Actually, I was driving a friend's car because mine was gone. And my eyes, I was just really hot. I was really mad at God, and my eyes started to water up, and I'm just like, man, God, I just don't understand. All of this stuff is happening, man. Should I just move home? It'll be easier there. Mama's there. I get some home-cooked meals and things like that. Got an awesome church to attend there. Like, should I just go home? Is this you, Lord? And I just started crying. And what's really crazy, that Friday night, there's this young adults ministry there at Rhema called Synergy. And I was the worship leader over Synergy at that time. And I'm driving, and I'm like, God, you know, like, I can't do this. I don't understand what's happening to me right now, but I'm not going to lead worship tonight. I don't want to be fake. I don't want to get up here and shout, God, you're good. You're so faithful. You are the supplier of our needs, and you're not supplying my needs. Like, seriously, I was just so upset. I'm like, God, like, you're not helping me right now. And, you know, I'm in a relationship with the Lord, you know, and so we just having a talk. Actually, I was doing all the talking. He wasn't saying anything to me at the time. And so I'm like, man, God, like, what's going on? I'm not going to lead worship tonight. I don't even want to be here anymore. And I'm sitting over there and I'm crying and, you know, I'm just having a moment. I did not want to go to the young adults. I mean, you have 500 people that would come to this service once a month, and it's just so crazy. The one Friday that I have to go to court, it's the same Friday that we have Synergy on. And I'm just like, Lord, I'm not going to do it. So after sitting there for 30 minutes trying to understand and fighting with God, I told God, you know, I'm not going there. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to be fake. And that moment was a monumental moment for me that set the foundation for the rest of my life. It was a monumental moment. It was a moment of a decision that I was going to have to make that was set the pace for me. And the Lord then spoke to me finally, not what I wanted to hear, but he said, so you can't serve the people tonight? You know, the Lord will speak to you just the way that you talk. He'll talk to you just the way that you talk. He's not the Lord, or you're not going to say, he's not going to come to you that way. You know your voice better than anybody else in this room or in your life. You know your voice. And so isn't it awesome that God's going to talk to you the way that you talk? That's how you want to know why you ain't hearing from God. You're expecting some, you know, audible, down, dark voice, and he's been talking to you all along. He talks to you just like you talk. And he said, so you can't serve the people tonight? You can't worship tonight? You can't worship me tonight? And I'm like, I don't want to. That shook me. I'm like, you're still thinking about you, God. Think about me. I got problems down here. You know how we talk. And you over here thinking about you. No, I don't want to serve you tonight. And so this shook me to my core because I believe this was a defining moment of my belief system. It shook me because at that moment, I realized that my love and my service to God at this point was conditional. I realized that my love, even though God is an unconditional God, unconditional loving God, I realized that my relationship with the Lord wasn't even held because if I didn't feel good, I wasn't going to church. If I was mad at God, I wasn't going to lead worship. If I was mad at God, it was a conditional relationship. It was based on how I felt at that time. Many of us fall into that category, right? Well, we have this conditional relationship based upon how we feel. So this moment was a defining moment for me. I'm so convinced that Paul had an understanding and a knowing of something that we must catch on to, and that is this: God is with you at all times. Even though I was going through that craziness, even though Paul was going through his craziness, there is this thing, I believe Paul knew, I'm shipwrecked, but God, you're with me. I'm being stoned, but God, you're with me. I don't have food right now to eat, but God, you are with me. This defining moment of my life, I had a decision to make. And I believe that moment was the foundation for the rest of my life. If God can use me to be here tonight, or is it going to be conditional? If God's love for me is unconditional, then I should be unconditional with God. And I believe Paul had this understanding. Jesus had this understanding. See, Jesus, in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he was sweating blood and tears, he was having a conversation with God. God was with Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. God was with Jesus doing the 12-hour beating. God was with Jesus on the cross. God was with Jesus with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He was with, come on, somebody, God was with them. And so in the heartache and in the pain, no matter what you're going through, you have got to have an understanding and a knowing that God is still with you. Well, I was raped. I was molested. I was beaten. My father beat me. My mama smacked me. All the God is still with you. But you have to know it. And you've got to be persuaded by it. Are you with me tonight? Amen. Paul had this revelation that through the good and even through the bad, God is with me. So we may be asking this question: why would God allow Paul and Jesus and Shadrach, Meshach, and all of the disciples that had horrible deaths go through the things that they went through? One thing you have got to remember is this, that you will encounter hard times while you are on earth, and know that he's still with you. I know that's not a popular message, y'all. It's not a popular message. I remember having an argument, or shall I say a controlled discussion, with my mom. And I was my first years at Rhema, and I'm like, "Ooh, I'm on fire for God." And I'm talking back with my mom, and she's like, "Honey, you're going to go through. This is just a moment in your life. You've got to overcome." And I'm telling her, "I'm a child of God. I don't have to go through this. God protects me, and, you know, I'm going through this." And she's like, "Well, honey, I just want you got to understand that you will go through hard times." And I was just combating. I'm like, no, I'm a child of God. His blood protects me. And it took me a while to understand a few things. One of the main reasons people leave the faith is because we don't understand how the God of love and protection will let bad things happen. People are dropping like flies, leaving the faith because we just can't understand. God, if you're so good and your blood protects and we have the name of Jesus, why did I get in that accident and lose my arm? Why am I struggling with diabetes? If you're so great and you're so good, and then people are losing the faith because they can't understand what's happening. When the Word of God says, lean not unto your own understanding, right? There are some things that we're just not going to understand while we're here on earth. Are you feeling me tonight? So why is God, why would he allow, if he's living on the inside of us and he's around about us, why would he let these things happen? We've got to understand that things are going to happen. We're not in heaven yet. And in fact, we're still on earth where Satan is the god of this world. Oh, you didn't know? 2 Corinthians 4:4. I'm just going to read it for the sake of time. Here you have Paul's telling us that Satan, who is the god of this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. They are unable to see the glorious light of the good news. They don't understand the message about the glory of Christ, who is in the exact likeness of God. He said here, the unbelievers, the minds, you know, they just don't believe in. Satan has blinded them. And what's happening right now is, in the Christian faith, Christians all over the world are dropping like flies, and Satan is blinding the believers, not just the unbelievers now. He's blinding the believers because we just can't understand the hard times. Are you with me? Jesus even said he's warring like a lion, seeking whom he shall devour. I want you guys to understand something, that Satan wants to devour you and attack your mind. He's more concerned with destroying your thought life, your mind, and your heart, because he knows that's where the things of God reside. And so if he can destroy your mind, if he can destroy your thought life, if he can destroy the things that come out of your mouth and it's all negative, if he can destroy these things, then ultimately, because the word says power, the life and death lies in the power of the tongue, ultimately, he can kill you. And then Jesus also said that Satan comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But he's going to destroy you, ultimately kill your pride, kill everything that God has given you, and ultimately wants to kill you. And so you got Paul here and you have Jesus giving us some, you know, letting us know what's going down. Letting us know that things are going to happen because Satan is the prince of air. So what we have to do is we have to stop blaming God for what Satan is doing. It seems like we forget that there is a Satan. There is bad spirits out here. There are these cohorts out there that sides with Satan that's trying to take you out, trying to destroy your life. There is an evil force out here. And so when bad things happen, the first thing that we want to do is we want to blame God. And we're falling right in the trap that Satan wants us to fall. Why? Because he wants to control your mind. He wants to destroy your mind. Don't fall in that trap. And this is the revelation I'm talking about. This is the revelation that I believe Paul had while he was here on earth. To not give in, to resist the devil, to not give in to all of the hard times. Are you following me tonight? Adam and Eve gave Satan what God gave them, and we must maintain the earth by being the light of the world and the salt of the earth, making impact until Jesus comes back and take back what Adam and Eve gave Satan. So we can't be moved by the hard times. We can't be moved when we can't pay our rent. We can't be moved when we can't pay our tuition. We can't be moved when our cars get repossessed or we get even. We can't be moved. We've got to stand firm in our faith. Are you with me tonight? Because we got a job to do. We got a job to do. So what? The word of God says, you are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world, the salt of the earth. You know what salt does? It preserves. We have a job to do. And if we're walking around here losing our faith because, you know, bad things are happening, then our light is becoming dimmer and dimmer and dimmer. Here's what we like to do as a church. We like to blame the world for all the bad things are happening. And we have to begin to look at ourselves and wonder why the bad things are happening. It's because our lights are becoming dimmer and dimmer and dimmer, and people cannot see the truth. So the church has a part to play in this whole thing on earth. We got a job to do. And what we have to do is be persuaded by our unconditional God. Do you believe that you serve an unconditional God? It's going to take us to be like Paul and be unmovable, immovable, and unshakable, man. I mean, we've got to be pillars of faith. We've got to be pillars of faith. I believe that Paul had this revelation and therefore never let these moments of torture get him off course, out of the will of God. One of my favorite scriptures, you guys come back the next few days because I'm going to share some stories with you guys. And one of my favorite scriptures, and one of the stories, this is the reason why this is my favorite scripture, but 1 Peter 5:9-10. It says, stand firm against Satan and be strong in your faith. Remember that your family of believers all over the world are going through the same kind of suffering you are. You're not the only one going through hard times. You're not the only one that's going to go through hard times. There are other believers, brothers, and sisters all over the world that are encountering hard times. And Paul, even 2,000 years ago, are reminding the churches to stand firm, resist the devil, and he will flee. Be strong in the Lord. Be strong in your faith. Remember that there are people all over the world going through hard times like you. And then verse 10, it says, in God's kindness, in his kindness, God called you to share in his eternal glory by means of Christ. So after, this is what got me here. He said, so after you have suffered a little while, he, God, will restore you, will support you, and strengthen you. And he will place you on a firm foundation. Come on, somebody. This is the God, the unconditional God that we serve. He's letting us know right here that after you've suffered for a little while, some of you guys may be thinking, well, why have to be after? Why can't it be before the suffering's about to happen? Well, let me tell you something. I learned something some years ago that God doesn't test us, okay? He's not a tester. He doesn't test our faith. He's not trying to test you. I'm going to throw this little test out here and see if they make it. God is not playing games, okay? Anybody like games? Well, he's not playing games with you. He's not trying to throw some things out there. And so, you know, he's not playing games with you. What you have, and I want you guys to pay attention to what I'm saying right now. What you have are you have these moments or these seasons where you can go to God and seek his revelation and knowledge on how to get out of the situation that you're in. He's not sending this thing out here to just test you. No, you have opportunities. Are you following me tonight? You have opportunities of growth and strength when you go through these hard times. You have opportunities to get God involved. You know, when David, this is not even in my notes, and I got 11 pages of notes here, and I don't think I'm going to get through it all. But listen, that's why we're coming back tomorrow. But listen, here you have David. God told David to go to war. And so God, you know, prepared David for this war and tell him how to win the war. And David gets his crew, you know, and they go out here and they leave their families behind and their little homes and abodes and things of that nature. And they go out here to war and they win the war. But behind the scenes, while they're out there fighting the good fight of faith, turmoil is going on back home. And so when David and his crew gets back home, they see that everything was burnt down and their families have been taken away, all of the crazy things. And he's like, wait a minute. I just did what you told me to do, God. Now, why would I come back here and everything's been taken away? God was not testing David at that time. We have to remember that Satan comes to kill, steal, and destroy, right? But one thing that I learned that David did, man, he went to the mountain and he got before God and he sought out God's instructions. He didn't get up there and blame God. He didn't have this why me kind of situation. He got up there and what did the word say? He encouraged himself. And so what we have to do, guys, is that when hard times come, you, because he was persuaded by God. Now, David wasn't a perfect person, you know. But because he was persuaded by God and after God's own heart, he went to God and he said, listen, God, you are so good. You're so great. You're magnificent. You're excellent, God. I praise you. I love you. He got up there and he encouraged himself by praising the Lord. And what happened? That opened up the door for God to speak. You close the door for God to speak when you're complaining. God is not moved by your complaining. He's moved by your praise. He's moved by your mind and heart being trusted with him. We're around here complaining, and God is, he's like, that's not the way to do it. That's not your ammunition. Your ammunition is praise. And so what did he do, y'all? He gave David instructions. After David encouraged himself, praising the Lord, he gave David instructions on how to go get his family back and how to go get more. It said that he ended up with more. We like to go to Job, right? And look at that whole story with Job and how God allowed Satan to get in there and do his thing, because Satan is the prince of error, and God allowed that to happen. Go ahead. And we like to look at that story as a way of saying God allows things to happen. Well, here's the thing, y'all. We're not in heaven yet. Again, bad things are going to happen. God is not out here blocking every little thing that the devil is trying to throw at your way. Again, we have opportunities to grow. And one thing we realize in the story of Job is that at the end of the story of Job, God gave him three times as what he had before. So there was some turmoil that Job had to go through, that he went through. And at some point, you know, he had those three crazy friends. And at some point, he had to encourage himself. And God had to tell him, like, don't you forget who I am. I'm the one that gave you this, and I'm the one that healed you of this, and I'm the one. And in that moment, God was encouraging Job. He was reminding him what was going on. Job got his mind right. And God was able to go ahead and give him more than what he had before. Here's my point, y'all, that God is with you through it all. Just like he was with Abraham, just like he was with Isaac and Job, just like he was with Paul, just like he was with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, just like he was with Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, all of the, just like he was with all of those guys, he is with you. He is with you. And none of these people had it easy. None of these people had it easy while they were serving God, y'all. So what makes you think that you're going to have it easy? You know what? You grow the most when you're in pain. Your pain tolerance, you know, grows a little bit when you go to the gym and you get down on that bench and you start lifting weights, or you're running and you're out of breath. What you're doing is you're strengthening your endurance. And so you have to look at all of these hard times that you're facing or going to face as opportunities to strengthen your endurance. The more you run, the more you're going to be able to run. The more pain that comes in, the Bible says to count it all joy. Count it all joy. All what? All the good times? No, that too, but all of the bad times. Count it all joy. Okay, so you want to come and tempt me here. Okay, Satan, you want to try to take my life out by getting, you know, causing this cry. Oh, okay, you're trying to, oh, okay, ha, 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 ha. You're not going to take me down. Ha, 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 ha. You laugh at the devil, count it all joy. And what happens is you're laughing at Satan, he gets real irritated, and he's going to try to shoot more darts at your way, and you're just like, nah, bruh, I serve God. Nah, bruh, you can't, no, you understand what I'm saying? Your praise is your ammunition. So fight the good fight of faith. We're encouraged to fight the good fight of faith. Don't you lose heart. The Bible says, keep your heart. Don't lose heart. Don't lose your faith, y'all. Stand firm in God and be encouraged by Paul's story. These people had, I mean, though you look at the faith of what the Hall of Faith, or the, you know, when you go into Hebrews, all those people there, man, that were mentioned on the Wall of Faith, they all encouraged things where they had to walk by faith and not by sight. And let me tell you this as we close. The Lord has promised us some many things, and there might be some personal things that God has promised you particularly. I want you guys to understand that no matter what happens, you hold on to that promise. No matter what happens, you hold on to that promise. Because you have to understand something. Though it was promised to you, it's not just for your benefit. Though it was promised to you, your generation after generation may be the beneficiaries of it. So you have to hold on to the promises of God for their benefit. You may not see what God promised you on earth, but it's very possible that your children and your children's children will be the beneficiaries of your faith. And I believe when we look at Abraham and Isaac, and when we look at all of these heroes of faith, we are beneficiaries of the things and the promises of God. They may not have received all of those promises, but we are sitting and we are blessed in some of those promises that God had promised them. So you hold on to your promises. Hold on to your faith. It's worth it. It's worth it. It's so worth it. It's worth it, y'all. Take these moments of hard times and you strengthen yourself. You build your faith. You get before the Lord. Man, I talk to my mom sometimes, and, you know, she just, you know, she, my father passed away, and I'll tell you guys that story here soon. My father passed away, and my mom, man, she just had some hard times. And now she's 63 years old, and she's still just having some hard times. And she just don't understand why. But one thing that come out of her mouth on a constant basis is that God is unconditional and that he loves me. I'm still alive today. I have food on my table. She counts the blessings. She counts the blessings. Even though she may have a struggle here and she may have a, you know, physical issue here, she still counts the blessings that she has. So count your blessings. Be grateful for where you are and what you have. You know, horrible things have happened to me over the years. Bad things. I've had some hard things happen to me. And I've had to stay firm in my faith. Therefore, I'm here today, encouraging you all to do the same. You are in the army of the Lord. Is there anybody in this room that don't know Jesus? Everybody in this room knows Jesus. So you are in the army of the Lord. When we planted our church in Columbus, Georgia, 75% of our members were in the army. Fort Benning there. And man, I learned so much and saw so many things that lined up with what God is wanting to do with the body of Christ. Those guys, I mean, they have some type of training. They're falling out under, you know, because they got to stand in position for hours and locking their legs. And I mean, they're going against the grain constantly. They get 4.5 hours of sleep before they got to get up in the morning to do it all over again. And they do this for years, y'all. And I look at the word of God and I'm just like, man, God, it's the same thing. We are in the army of the Lord, and we can't be punks. We can't be all, you know, just mad, sad, and disgusted. When we got to be able to strengthen ourselves and fight the good fight of faith, because we are in the army of the Lord, and your faith is, you know, these, the world is blessed because you are here. The world is blessed because you are here. So you got to keep the faith because you are the light of the world and the salt of the earth. You can't be falling by the right and to the left. You got to stay focused. We got to stay focused. Are you with me tonight? Everyone stand up. Close your eyes. Bow your heads. If there's anybody in this room with all heads bowed and eyes closed, if there's anybody in this room that's struggling in your faith, you're having a hard time. You're struggling in your faith. You're probably on the edge like, God, I don't know if we can do this any longer. Or you've just been struggling in your faith for years. You got a lot of questions. I remember when I was going through a moment like that, and the Lord said to me, you're going to why yourself out of your Christianity. You're going to why yourself out of your belief system. And you're sitting up here, and you're asking yourself, why, God? Why? Why is this happening? Why am I struggling? Why? And you're on your way of whying yourself out of your belief system. If that's going on, will you please come to the front? If there's anybody struggling, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to come up here to the front. If you're struggling in your faith, it's okay. We're all family in here with every head bowed and every eye closed. Yeah. You're struggling in your faith. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. If you're struggling in your faith, you don't know what's